try to finish up 6 chapters tonight. Praise God. All right, we talking about the governing principles, expressing Christ as companion to reach the unsaved and meet the needs of the community. Before I go there, I want to go to Acts 2 and 42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them with all men to all men as every man had need. So, you know, when the church in the book of Acts, and they grew into a covenant community of believers. How many know when that happened, the supernatural power of God was made manifest? Here in this, the second governing principle, the author, he points out that, you know, most believers have gotten so stuck, you know, in church activities, they've forgotten the real condition of the world. And a lot of times, you know, we can get bogged down with a lot of church, you know, the activity in the church. And the thing about it is we got a world to save. Yes, sir. And so unless we understand covenant, understand we're in covenant with God, and understand that we're in covenant with God for a purpose. There's a purpose that we're supposed to be fulfilling. And that purpose that we're supposed to be fulfilling is to advance the kingdom of God, to cause, we all have the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile people back to God. So, you know, believers, they've lost contact with, you know, a lot of times, you know, we get saved and that sort of thing and stuff. And then, you know, people who, if they're outside of the church, we don't, you know, we lose contact with them. We don't, you know, we don't have fellowship with our people outside. You know, every friend that we have is somebody in the church. And every function that we attend has to do, you know, church related, that kind of thing and stuff. You know, and I tell a lot of times single ladies, you know, they go to church and they go to work and stuff. I mean, they need to go some other places. You know, their husband might be, you know, somewhere at a basketball game or something. Go somewhere beside church. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but a lot of times they stay right inside the church. You know, from the time they go to church and the time they go to work, they meet the same people that they've been meeting for the last 5-6 years. And they may need to change their route. And they may run into somebody different. I mean, that God ordained person that's for their life may be somewhere, you know, where they're passing these new pathways they're taking. But we can't always have relationship with people in the church, because how are we gonna get them saved? If that's how, I mean, the people in the church are already saved. It's the same old group. You know, when you go there every Sunday, it's the same, you know, visitors come and people get saved from time to time then. So our insufficient commitment and loyalty to covenant today can jeopardize the destiny of the next generation. So we have to really, if we're not careful and committed and loyal to covenant, then that next generation, you know, we're gonna jeopardize them. So the believers who become very active in church work often become cut off from reaching the community, confined to the four walls of the sanctuary. Now, one of the things that that we've done, and you know, it's under apostles' guidance, you know, we do tent revivals and that sort of thing and stuff, because you know, the only way we're gonna be able to win the lost, we got to get outside the church. And so that's times when, you know, any time that we do any kind of tent revivals, you know, I check with Apostle first to see if it's all right. Now, you know, we traveling all the time, so our schedule has to be worked around his schedule. Right. You with me? And so whenever it we're allowed to, you know, we do tent revivals, we do drive-bys, you know, the old drive-by. What we do is in the drive-by, we get people in a van and with get hot dogs and tracks. And they just jump out on a corner, you know, with a whole bunch of people out on the corner and just start passing out hot dogs, you know, because if you can help a man physically, you know, by getting him something to eat, you know, then he'll listen to you. And so those kind of things and stuff, you know, we have to make sure that we get outside the church and not just everything is just inside the walls of the church and we're not reaching out and that kind of thing and stuff. We had a funeral. And so people said that they need to have, you know, this guy had died and the church that he went to, the guy didn't pay tithes, so they wouldn't funeralize him. So they asked us, you know, will we do it? And so my main purpose is for doing it is because I, you know, get an opportunity to get somebody saved. And so, but people do whatever it is they want to do, but I think that we miss an opportunity. That's been at funeral services. We've seen as many as 70 some people get saved. At funeral service, we give an invitation at weddings. Folks get married, we give an invitation to get saved at weddings because some folks not going to come to nothing but events like that. So we give them opportunity to, you know, to be saved. So instead of building walls, we have to build bridges to reach people outside our churches. And we must do so with compassion, with the compassion that Jesus had for people. Now, in Scripture, you know, the Bible always talked about, you know, Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion to. Let me go to it. He was moved. Excuse me, with compassion. Let's see. It's in Matthew. In Matthew, the ninth chapter in the 36th verse, it said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then again in the 14th chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed us. He healed their sick. And then it says again in the 18th chapter, the 27th verse, and saying, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. So Jesus' ministry, many times he was moved with compassion. And one of the things that the dictionary says about compassion, it says that compassion is the sympathetic consciousness of others distressed together with a desire to alleviate it. So if you got compassion, you can't have compassion without having the desire to alleviate whatever distress that the person or the people are going through. So we got to have this compassion that Jesus had in order to fulfill the Great Commission, winning the lost to Christ, you know, so that God's kingdom can be advanced. You know, I've said this before and I'm saying it again. You know, I thought that I was, you know, one of the greatest soul winners that, you know, the Lord made until I got around Apostle. And, man, I found out, man, I got, you know, you got to wake up early in the morning because Apostle will he'll witness. I mean, before you know it, he done got three or four people saved. And here you are, you trying to attempt to talk to somebody about Jesus. He already got four people saved. I said, my God, man. I said, you know, I just had never seen anybody. When you got it, you just got it. And so he just got it. And so I told y'all about the time, you know, we were walking, and so they had this guy, you know, and here I am. I got a fish. I'm going to catch this one, you know. And so I asked the man, you know, was he saved? Did he go to church and stuff? He said, yeah, I go to church. And you know, I said, wow, man. I said, well, you know, he already, you know, saved and everything and stuff. So Apostle just waited, and then he said, So I'm about to walk off. He said, hold on. He said, you say you go to church. He said, that's not what he asked. He said, are you saved? God waited a minute. He didn't say nothing. And then he said, well, you know, you're not saved. You took it that long to answer. You're not saved. And so he had said, you want to give the Lord Jesus Christ your life? And the man said, yeah. And we prayed with him and got him born again. And then we got ready to walk off. Pastor said, man, you about to let the fish get off the line. But that has to be a part of who we are, winning people to Christ. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I mean, on your job and place that you go, but it's got to be from the compassion of Christ. And through covenant is based on love. And so watch this. People are supposed to experience God's love through us, right? So watch this. So my love relationship with God is what other people are supposed to get the overflow from. They're supposed to get the overflow from our love relationship with God. So if we have no love relationship with God, they can't get it. So that's why we have to always be looking to him. We have to always be asking, Lord, I've seen, this is another thing that I've seen apostle pursue God like I ain't never seen no other man do before. I've been around a lot of preachers, a lot of great men, but I have never seen anybody, nobody, nowhere. I have never seen anybody with the pursuit after God like I've seen apostles. I've not seen it. And so I said to myself that there's no way that I'm going to be in this close proximity to seeing somebody. You know, you can read about the generals and how God dealt with them and how that kind of thing and stuff. But we got a general here. And his pursuit after God is like you ain't never seen before. But, you know, we get the, you know, whenever we come to class and stuff, we get, a sense of what's going on behind closed doors. But boy, but if you ever get around, you'll really see, you know, he just have a pursuit after God. Like I have never seen any man have. All right. So Jesus clearly defined that the harvest is already before us and all that is needed is laborers who will work on the people to bring them into the kingdom. So this is a part of our job. And these breakthrough believers that God is raising up, and what is the heart of apostle is that to train people to advance the kingdom of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things going to be added unto you. But the church for so long, the church been after the things, today they forgot that it's about the kingdom of God. Yes, see, once we really get focused on taking care of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, really, there's no way that you can seek the kingdom without seeking the king. Yes, so it's about seeking him. And the thing about it is the assignment that he has for us, the purpose that he has for our life. And so that's what it's got to be about. It cannot be about us. It cannot be about, how I feel about this or how I feel about it. No, it's about what the king has said. It's about, pursuing him, getting his heart about what needs to be done at what time. I believe every day that we get up in the morning, we need to find out what's the heart of the king. What is it what is his desire for us this day? Because a lot of times we can do things that we feel like we want to do, we ought to do and stuff. Let me tell you something. You can succeed in doing the wrong thing.
Yes, sir.
And that's called failure.
Yes,
when you succeed at doing the wrong, if it's not what God has called you to do, then your success in that is really failure.
Yes,
we spend a lot of, we We don't prioritize. When we don't prioritize our time, how many of you know we wind up doing the unnecessary? We wind up just doing things that just really not. And a lot of times we can see people who we can mimic what other people are doing, that sort of thing and stuff. But if that's not what God told us, it could be a good thing. I remember one time I went to Atlanta. I was doing some work in Atlanta years ago, and I saw this soup line coming. I mean, it was coming from way down the street. I mean, the people was going there. They were feeding them and that sort of thing. I thought that, oh man, this is wonderful. This is a wonderful thing that's going on. But guess what? That is good if that was the assignment that God gave that person. But if we just take upon ourselves and say, well, we're going to start a soup line, and that's not what God told us to do, then guess what? We can feed a lot of people, but if that's not what God tells us to do, we have really failed at what we have really failed in our assignment. Hallelujah. Now, so the Bible talks about that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. So now the ongoing success of ministry is dependent upon raising true shepherds who will reach out to touch society as Jesus would. Not just winning souls into the kingdom, but bringing them into total restoration in every area of their lives and teaching them about covenant relationship with God and man. So it's not enough just to have just to get people saved, but to disciple them. There's so many people that, you know, we've ran across who, you know, got saved, but they had drug problems before they got saved. So the thing about it is they can get saved, but then you have to be able to walk them through this process. You have to be able to walk them through so that they, I've gone in crack houses. I'm going to crack houses and to get people out of crack houses. And but you can't go into crack. You just can't just go into crack house just to be going to crack house. You know, it has to be your assignment. Let me tell you something. I remember we were out street witnessing, and they were out. They had a little dice game going on. We walked up, and they shooting dice. You know, they shooting dice, man. And so I walked up to them, you know, and I put my feet on the dice. The dice rolling, man. I put my feet on the dice. And I asked them, had they received Jesus? And they had grown men start crying. They crying. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell folks this all the time. Now, you don't just go into a crap game and just put your feet on the dice. The Lord better have given you some instructions on that. You know what I'm saying? But they got saved. And so that doesn't mean I wouldn't just go into just because that happened once. I wouldn't just, you know, just go find somebody playing dice and just go in and just kick them over. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many ways. I've seen so many things that have happened. One time we were down by LSU some years ago. We were down by LSU witnessing, and they had this couple that was with us on our team. And so they went up to this guy. This guy was drinking, and they went up to him, witnessing to him. And the guy got him a mouthful of beer and blew it in their face. And the man's wife got hysterical. Oh, she was just she didn't know what to do. You know, she was going out trying to support her husband, you know, had never been out there before. And so so the guy, he was trying to calm his wife down and that sort of thing and stuff. And how about it wasn't probably about 10 minutes later. 10 minutes later, the guy, because he left after he did that, he went right off. And about 10 minutes later, he come walking up, get right in front of us, get down on his knees, say, I want to accept Jesus. Suppose we wouldn't have had the compassion. Oh, we just jumped on him, just beat him down. You know what I'm saying? But whenever there is an assignment that God gives you, how many of you know God gives you the grace to be able to do it? And that grace will help you to be able to have patience. We've had people come out under the tent, you know, to interrupt the tent and stuff like that. And so we just have somebody just kind of escort them out. And then we've seen them come back later and stuff and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's so we have to be able to operate in the compassion, but we can't operate in that compassion unless we understand covenant. We understand I'm in covenant with God. We're in covenant with God. We're in covenant relationship with him. And so there's times when you can't turn around. You can't retreat from the assignment that God has given you. You know, let's just say there was one place that we were going into. It was a real dangerous place. And so we were going and we're going to put up a tent. And so, you know, they had a lot of killing. So, you know, I just figured, you know, we just had to go to the worst place that we can find and go, you know, go in there and get folks saved. And so I talked to the apostle about it. I said, Apostle, look, this is where we're going. And I mean, people are getting killed on there every day. And this is what the apostle said. Apostle said, let me ask you a question. Did God specifically tell you to go to that, go down there? I said, no. He said, well, so why did you choose that place? I told him, because it got a lot of crime, and, you know, we just wanted to go down there and, you know, just make a difference. So he gave me wisdom. He said, son, let me tell you this. He said, follow your assignment and what God told you to do. He said, because not only are you taking yourself out there, you're taking the people in your church out there, and if God didn't tell you to, and then, you know, the enemy, you know, wage war on you out there, then you'll say, well, you know, God let this happen. But this is not specifically what he told you. So I learned that even though a thing can be a good thing, yes, it may not be a God thing. Yes, it may not be a God thing. You know, I mean, we could go to every hospital and just pray for everybody that's in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? But how many of you know we're not going to have the effect of, you know, the manifestation and the signs, wonders, and miracles, unless we're following the Spirit of God. Jesus had this thing down pat. Jesus would spend so much time in prayer and communicating with God till God would give him a revelation on where he needed to be, where he needed to go. Remember, Jesus made these kind of statements. I only do what my Father say. I only do what I hear or I see him do. I'm not doing what he never took the credit for what he was doing at no time. He always said that I only do, you know, what the Father has told me. And what you see doing is not me, it's him. He was always giving God the glory for what was happening. You see? And so all of this has to do with us seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. And the church, this is what apostle is trying to train us now to walk in the authority of God so that we see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're the church. We're not supposed to be just like a social club or something. Something's supposed to be happening. Every time we leave out of our homes and go to places where God has sent us. Something's supposed to happen. Every time. Not every other time, but every time something's supposed to be happening. And if it's not happening, it could be that God is not, we are not staying long enough to get instruction from God on where we need to be. So, we have to make sure that we're following the Spirit of God and we're following leadership that God has given us. All right. As it relates to, you know, getting folks saved, how many of you know, sheep really begat sheep. Sheep begat sheep. A lot of time, people see come to church and there's empty seats. That's not the pastor's fault. That's the sheep's fault. You know, people give me this kind of excuse. You know, we have new people that come in, and new people, they always bringing somebody to visit. And so people who've been there for a long time, you know, they say, well, we invite them, but they just don't come. That's just an excuse. That means that you're not a good salesperson. Because if something happening in your life and you start telling folk about it, guess what? They want to know where it's happening at. Today, tell you for instance today. All right. I had this guy come to the house, a carpenter, you know, trying to get some work done from, you know, the flood and stuff. So had his carpenter come, and he looking at the job and everything and stuff. And then he began to, he said, my goodness, man, you know, God is really blessing you. I said, I'm connected with Apostle. You know, he know Apostle. He do work for Apostle. I said, I'm connected with Apostle. He said, man, God, dog. He said, man, this stuff works. Now, this guy doesn't come to Word of Life. He's visited. But he told me, he said, man, he started testifying. He go to a strictly Baptist church, traditional church, and he started testifying how God has blessed him since he's been coming around Apostle. He say, man, look. He say, man, this man is a real deal. He say, I'm seeing where God, what God is doing in your life because you follow him. I say, yeah, man, this is how I'll tell you a few minutes ago about how Apostle pursues God. Watch. The reason why Apostle is blessed tremendously is his pursuit of God. Seeking the kingdom, things being added. That's the thing that's being added. You understand what I'm saying? It just keep on coming. So because he's hooked up, so I don't look at the Rolls Royce. And I mean, I don't look at that like this is what I want, what Apostle got. See, I don't really need a Rolls Royce. But what I want, what's your name?
What you? Yeah, what's your name?
Monique. What I want, Monique, is that pursuit he got after God. Yes, that's what I'm after. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm after. Those other things are byproduct. If you start focusing on those things, you'll never be fulfilled in life. But if you ever can find somebody who you ever can find an example of it, and you can follow that example, man, things start popping and things start happening in your life. You look around and you start seeing things, and other people have to make you look at what God has done in your life, because you wasn't after the things, you was after him. Oh my, Lord. If we can get the church to see that this got to be our focus, and we're not competing with each other, and we're not trying to impress anybody, and we're not trying to keep up with the Joneses, but our focus is to glorify God. I always ask myself a question before I do anything. Why am I doing this? And if my answer is not to give God glory, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it, because this is our main purpose, to bring glory to God. So let me go back here to my notes. So I said that sheep begat sheep, right? And then the pastor feeds and poor and trains and develop the sheep. And see, that's what I'm testifying about, you know, being trained and taught and stuff, and by Apostle. He's been pouring into us. We're supposed to go out, and we're supposed to share the good news and compare people. Invite people to come to the house of God. And then when they come, how many of you know they can be fed? They can receive what we've been receiving. But how many of you know if we're not receiving the word, if we're not focused on that, if we can't major in the minor. you know, the things are minor. We can't major in that, but we've got to get ourselves in a place where we get instructions from God. And then once we receive those instructions, and then we're going out, and once that becomes our focus, our main focus, we're going to begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles begin to pop off, you know, just like that. So now, but once we get folks saved and then we bring them to the house of God, then they got to be nurtured and trained and developed. We got to remember that sheep must be cared for and loved. Sheep need the closeness of a healthy connection. They need that. Sheep need to be fed. To feed them means to minister to the whole person in order to restore their lives. Sheep must be led. And in leading, the shepherd must be an example. Oh, Lord. We have to be examples for the sheep. We can't talk, do what I say and not as I do. No, we got to be examples. Got to be examples for the sheep. The sheep must learn to hear the shepherd's voice and believe it will change their lives for the better. The ministry of the true shepherds needs to be restored in the house as caregivers of the flock. They must operate in mercy and compassion and exemplify godly character and integrity as role models. And a lot of times, you know, compassion is not just, you know, just rubbing on somebody and saying it's going to be all right. Sometimes love is tough. Sometimes when, you know, there are times when you know, you have to really show tough love to people, especially when they just, you know, they allow themselves to keep on going down the same trail and that kind of thing and stuff. No, we're not gonna keep on trying to keep you on the right track and that kind of thing and stuff. Sometimes we got to just slack out you. Just sit down. You know, that ain't, you know, you need to hear more from God or something. Now, the author ends the chapter with this powerful statement. Believers must be trained to become God's heart and his hands, to embrace, to love, and to care until others are brought to wholeness in his love. All right. Oh, we finally got through chapter 6. Now, let's take a look at chapter 7. Characteristics of breakthrough believers. Now in chapter 7, you know, we're going to look at the characteristics of breakthrough believers. These characteristics include, number one, move ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Secondly, move under intense pressure to set the pace. Number three, move without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Number four, moved in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Number five, moved under subjection to a spiritual authority. See, they got to have these characteristics. A lot of times, you know, people, they think they already got it, so they don't really need to be under anybody. Number six, move collectively and corporately towards destiny. And then number seven, move with a prevailing mentality to influence the community. It's all about, you know, the scripture talks about in Ephesians 4 and 11, talks about, you know, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And the Bible says the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to mature the saints. That's what it's about. And that's one of the things that apostle been talking about lately. It's time to mature. It's time to mature. It's time for us to grow up and See, there's no way that we can do the work of Christ if we can't handle if somebody didn't speak to us. If somebody, you know, they was over in the corner, they were talking, and then when we walked up, they stopped talking, and we think that they were talking about us. A lot of times, folk lose a whole lot of sleep about folk, what people saying about them and stuff, and people ain't thinking about them. You know, so it's got to be a maturity so that we can come to the fullness of the stature of Christ so we can get the work done. That's what it's about doing. So the author, there are clear, distinctive characteristics in breakthrough believers. Their unique features allow them to be singled out from the masses. See, there'll be something different about us. Those who see them will know that they are making the difference, and those who meet them will know that the kingdom presence of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In Isaiah 61:9 says, then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them will recognize them because they are offsprings whom the Lord has blessed. Then Acts 11:19 says, so then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one else except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. See, when the hand of the Lord is with you, how many of you know, things start happening. And it said, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. A large number who believed, they turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable number were brought to the Lord. It's something about when I believe this. I believe every person need to have an experience with God where people know that you've been with the Lord. The people know that there's something different about you. There's something that's on your life. They know that this person is not regular. This person is, there's something about him. And how many of you know, it's almost like something magnetic. I was witnessing to a young man yesterday, and he said, I have a few questions I want to ask you. I said, go ahead, I want to ask. And so he wanted to know, why is there a lot of division in the church, you know, as far as denominations is concerned? I said, that's man. That's not God. God never intended for that to be that way. And so he had a few more questions, but his thing was, he said, the reason why I'm asking you, he said, because I don't know. He said, there's something about you that make me, you know, and this really blew me out, that make me really want to get my life right. He's about 19 years old, you know, full of tattoos all over him and stuff. He said, but really want to make me get my life right. That can only come from the Holy Ghost. That cannot come. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. That can only come from the Spirit of God putting something on you where people got to recognize you. Ooh, that's my time. All right, God. All right, test next week, right? Praise God. We'll see you the week after then. Praise God. Hallelujah.